Good morning and welcome to our second in this series of Power That Makes Possible. I have, as I told you last week, looked forward to teaching this one. I've been studying it for months now, and instead of just settling into it, it just seems to be growing. So I look forward to what the Lord is going to do and what He's going to show us here in the coming weeks together. If you didn't see last week, we're going to do a brief review, but let me encourage you, after you listen to today's, go back and listen to it, because it really sets the tone for being able to receive the power of God and the Word of God at work in your life. And so let me encourage you to do that. And also, I know we do it often, but I want to encourage you, if this ministers to you, please comment. Please also, if you like it or check love or care or even dislike, whatever you feel concerning this, feel free to hit the emoji that says it. We don't keep track and make a list of all who attend, but we just like to know that you're there and that it's ministering to you. So let's pray as we get started this morning. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you have a power available to us that makes all things possible. And today, as we just look more into your word, help us to see the value of that word as it makes that power available to us, both as we see it in Jesus and as we begin to see it in our own lives as believers, walking as he did, a man full of the Holy Spirit, filled with your power, clothed with it. Thank you, Father, for your great, great love for us. And it's in Jesus' name we give you praise for the work of the cross. Amen. So I'll do a quick review. Last week, as we begin the session talking about the power, I said it's a new series, but really it ties into what we've been talking about. And I made a statement last week, and I want to repeat it. If all you do is live in this physical realm, I personally don't believe you're ever going to reach the satisfaction levels that the Lord wants you to have. Why? Because you're not a flesh and bone body, or a flesh and blood body. You are what? You are spirit, who has a soul, and you live in this body, and you need to live and operate in the Spirit, including the power, to, I believe, have the life of God flow through you, because that is truly what is fulfilling to us in this life as we fellowship, as we spend time with Him in many different ways. And we're going to be actually talking about that, about things we can do to position ourselves to really have that power flow through us more readily. Now, we looked last week at the question, is anything too difficult for God? And really, this is a question he asked of Abraham and Sarah in Genesis 18. And we saw the word there was too difficult. King James says too hard. And that's literally what it means. But it also can mean too wonderful. And that just sheds a little light on it in terms of what they were doing. And really, for us, as we believe for healings, for having our needs met, for peace, for our grandchildren, is there anything too hard or too wonderful that the Lord can't do for us? And we also saw that the word anything there was the Hebrew word dabar, D-A-B-A-R, which literally means a word or a matter that is spoken of. So what it's really saying is any word of the Lord too difficult to come to pass? And it's worth noting, and really that's where we're going to spend our time today, there is a linkage between words and power. And you say, well, I just don't like all this speaking stuff. Let me just tell you, that's the way the kingdom works. You're going to see it in the first few verses today. And if we can't believe the first few verses, how can we believe the rest of this? And I'll make a comment about that as we go. We also looked in Numbers 11 as the children of Israel were complaining about manna, and the Lord instructed Moses to tell him, I'm going to give you quail and quail until it runs out your nose. And Moses, he didn't really understand it. He said, what am I supposed to do? Get all the fish of the sea? Kill all of our livestock? And listen to what the Lord said to him in Numbers 11, verse 23. He says, is the Lord's power limited? Now, talking to Moses, you shall see whether my word will come true or not. And you know, that's the same question we have to ask ourselves today. Do we believe things are too difficult? Will his word that he's spoken to us come to pass in our life? Now he said, is my power limited? Really what that's saying is my arm too short? Has something changed from the time that I delivered you from the hands of the Pharaoh in Egypt? And we saw that his word did come true. Just as we saw in Numbers, in 21:45 of Numbers, where it says, every good promise, excuse me, that's Joshua 21:45. Every good promise, which literally is every word, debar, that the Lord spoke to the children of Israel, not one of them failed to come to pass. Glory to God. That ought to be the same mindset we have going into this today, this study that we're doing. Everything the Lord has told me. And Jeremiah, the Lord asked the question, is there anything too difficult for me? And he asked it rhetorically because he'd already answered it through the prophet when he said, I know nothing's too difficult for you. And that's the same words that Jesus started with. And I think it's interesting to note that Jesus started with these words, or the Spirit did, with Mary, when he said, for with God, nothing will be impossible. And we talked about that also. That word nothing is no word, no rhema, no spoken word shall be impossible. Again, this is the way of the kingdom. Jesus said it once more in Luke 18 as he was talking with his disciples about who can be saved, talking about going through the eye of the needle and difficult for a rich man. And listen to this. I want to spend just a moment on this one. He said, the things impossible with men. Now, what I believe he's saying, the things that you try to do on your own without me are what? Impossible. But then he says, but with God, all things are possible. So things with men are impossible, but with God, what? All are possible. Glory to God. So we're not trying to do things on our own. We want to do everything with him. In fact, we want to do it in response to him and his word and the great love he has for us. We looked at a couple of examples of power being exerted. One of my favorites is when the axe did swim, when it fell in the water and swam up to the top. And what did the man do? He received it. He went and took it. We also looked at the time the armies were fighting and they had a great victory. And Joshua said, sun, stand still. Moon, don't move. And what happened? The very thing that he spoke, the Lord brought to pass. So we then asked the question, boy, this is a lot of power. It looks great. Why is it such good news to us? And we saw from Ephesians 1 that his power is what? Made available toward us. And it's the greatness of his power, the power of his might. We also saw in Psalm 106, verse 8, let me just read it. Nevertheless, he saved them for the sake of his name. In other words, because that was his desire. That's who he was. He cared about his reputation toward his people, his commitments he'd made, that he might make his power known. And what did we see? It wasn't just the children of Israel who saw it. It was everybody in that whole region that saw the hand of the Lord. And then finally, last week, we closed with a verse in Zechariah 4:6 that we studied a lot, where the prophet says to Zerubbabel, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by power, not by might, nor not by power, but by my spirit. Now, do you see, that's the same thing he'd said earlier. Don't try to do this in your own flesh. It's not possible. But by my spirit, by the power that the Holy Spirit brings, what? All things are possible. So today we want to begin to talk about faith in the gospel. In other words, faith in the good news about Jesus. And we're going to start by talking about the word of his power. Now to do this, I want to go all the way back to Genesis 1. Genesis 1. And can I just say, if we believe this first verse and how it took place in subsequent verses 2 and 3, then you should have no problem whatsoever believing everything we're going to talk about today. But if you can't believe this, which says you're denying the power, then I really think you need to seek your heart, because you're going to see some things today that tell us if we don't believe in the power, that we can't be born again. And I know that's getting down to a nitty-gritty, and I'm not condemning anyone. But you're going to see that's what the Word tells us. So the very first verse, in the beginning, God created, how? By His power, the heavens and the earth. So again, if you believe that first verse, then what I'm going to talk about today is just going to explode inside you with revelation. And the earth was formless and void, and the darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving, the Spirit of power was moving over the waters. Then God said, basically what He said was, light be. And Young's Literal Translation, who studied Hebrew and Greek and translated the Bible and also wrote a concordance about it, says the literal phrase there is, the result, light is. So not only did He speak it, the power that He had in Himself was moved into those words, and the Holy Spirit acted on them, and light came. Now, as we've talked before, if you've been with us in previous studies, we've talked about this is when I believe the Holy Spirit was released the glory of God into the earth. That light, and we studied that in a previous in our previous session on manifesting the names of Jesus. But I want to read to you the very first phrase in verse 4. Then the Lord and God said that the light was good. So His goodness, His power was released, and all of creation was aimed toward what? His man. Now you say, well, what does light have to do with power? Well, laser. And you're going to see over and over here that as we go through these next sessions, that light, energy, fire, all are worked together. And so there is power in these light waves that even we see today. Thus why a laser can really destroy something when that light is really focused, when it's intent. Now let's look at Psalm 29, verse 1. We'll begin to see some things about, as we look at this, that build on, then the Lord said, and then power was released. Verse 29, Psalm 29, verse 1. Ascribe to the Lord, O sons of the mighty, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Now, strength here means force, and it also means powerful. Now look down at verse 4. So we're talking about the Lord has power, He has might, He has strength. Verse 4 says, the voice of the Lord is powerful. And then it adds, the voice of the Lord is majestic. Now let's examine that first phrase, the voice of the Lord is powerful. Is that saying that the voice of the Lord is loud? It could be. But really, what it's saying is the voice of the Lord, and here's the definition for that word powerful, has vigor, has a force, and it produces. You say, well, what does it produce? Whatever He has sent with that word. Then it goes on. The voice of the Lord is majestic. And if you look up the word majesty, from which majestic is derived, it says it means sovereign. So we would say He's the final authority or the highest authority. But it also means power. So over and over, you see words, the words or the voice, the words that are spoken by the Lord contain power. They are strong and mighty. The Passion Translation is interesting in that fourth verse. It says, so powerful is His voice. And then it adds, so brilliant and bright. Now, wait a minute. I thought He was talking about words. But those words are what? Contain power, and they are, it's like light going forth. And what did we see about light? It's His goodness. So all of this just reflects the love of the Lord toward us. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse 4 is where we're going to look. And I believe Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes. There's no proof, but just in reading and studying, I believe he did. And look at what he said. And a lot of this, think how much he learned from his father, David. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And then it continues on with another phrase. And who may say to him, what are you doing? Now let's go back to that first phrase. Where the word, the debar, the thing spoken of a king is, There is power. Now, if you'll look in your Bible, most likely, and I'm reading this one from the New King James, most likely it will have the words is right after king, and then there is. So it would, if you take those out, because those were added by the translators, they're not in the original Hebrew language. So you take that word, that phrase, is, there is. Here's the way it reads. Now the word of the king, power. Does that make the point? I think it does. And then this second phrase really gets to something that we're going to get into in a few sessions from now, when we start talking about how do we create and put ourselves in a position for that power, create an environment and put ourselves in a position for that power to flow through us. Do we want that power to manifest in the way we want it? Or are we willing to let God do it and manifest it His way? And that's what I believe He's asking here. And who may say to Him, the King, what are you doing? Or we might say, why does it have to be that way, Lord? The word of the King is what we saw earlier, majestic, that final authority. Now we see this also, and we see it, the way we can see power manifested and demonstrated is exhibited to us in Hebrews, the first chapter, the third verse. And I'm not going to try to read the whole verse for time's sake. We'll just talk about this one phrase. In this verse, it says, talking about Jesus, He upholds, sustains, holds together all things. How? By the word of His power. So Jesus today is sustaining everything by the word of His power. Now, let's just think about this. Listen to the Amplified. He is upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe by His mighty word of power. Now, you ask, how can He do this? Well, let me just take you back to Genesis 1. How was all this created? By His spoken word. 8 times in that chapter. And He said, and He said. So if things are created by words, do you think they can be sustained? Or think about Jesus on the earth when He cursed the fig tree. Or when He exerted authority over a fever, when He spoke to a fever. Can things that were created change by words today? Yes, that's what this verse is telling us. The Passion Translation says He does this by the mighty power of His spoken word. And so we take that right back to Ecclesiastes 8:4. And I have to add every time I read that, and so why should I question how He's doing it? Now, this word for power, you've heard me define it before, but for those who may be joining us for the first time or two, this word power that we see in the New Testament, which is used to describe all of Jesus' miracles, is the word dunamis in the Greek. It means force. It specifically means miraculous power. In other words, it usually implies a miracle or the working of a miracle itself. It's defined power, strength, mighty work, wonderful work, miracle, ability, and a number of others. But the interesting part of this, and you're going to see where the title came from here, is this word for power, dunamis, came from a word which is dunamahi, and it literally means to make possible. So what is this miraculous strength that we have? It is a power that makes possible. That's literally how we could describe dunamis. Makes possible what? Whatever you need. I jokingly said before, not taking anything away from the name I am, You can ask, what am he for you? Pardon my English. But he am, or he is, to be more correct, anything you need. For with the Lord, no thing, no spoken word, shall be impossible. And that ought to make a smile come on every one of our faces as we read that. Now, let me just remind you, here we are talking about power that makes possible anything we need. You are the object of that. You remember what we saw in Ephesians 1 last week? His power is toward us. We just mentioned that in our review. Song of Solomon. And I'm sure many of us don't read that one all the time. In the 7th chapter, the 10th verse, it reads this way. I am my beloved's. And then it says, his desire is toward me. The word for the desire there can mean his longing. And when I looked up the word that it came from, the Hebrew word bilzon, the original Hebrew word that his desire comes from, the word desire comes from, means this, to be abundant or to give in abundance toward. Now, again, that just strengthens everything we've been talking about. To him who is able to give you exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or think. Ephesians 3:20, I believe. That's how he desires to use this power that makes possible toward you, into you, so that it can go on for others and for you. Glory be to God. Hebrews 4:12 gives us even more insight into this word power. And talking about the word. Hebrews 4:12, again from the New King James. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And then it tells how sharp. It can divide soul and spirit, which we know are very close from having studied who we are, spirit. We have or possess a soul, and we live or dwell in a body. It can separate the joints, the bones, and the marrow. Marrow is where life comes from. And a discerner of thoughts and intent of the heart. Now, this word here, for word, is logos, talking about the written word. But it can also mean spoken, and it's where we then speak the rhema, the revelation of the word we get. And let me remind you, this is talking about Jesus for the Word. What does 1 John tell us? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Him, and the Word was Him. And then it goes on to say about through Him, everything was created. So it's Jesus that spoke those words, I believe. So when it says for the Word of God, you can think for my Jesus. Is living and powerful today. Now, the word for power there is not the word dunamis, but it's the word energos, which comes from energeo, which means to have energy or to be effective. So that's what we see in the Amplified Bible. It says, for the word that God speaks is alive, it's full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. In other words, what? It accomplishes everything you send it to. And that's what Passion Translation says, the Word of God, we have the living Word of God. It is alive. That's why you can read a verse today and it means something to you, and 2 years from now you can read that same verse and get total new revelation, a depth on it, because it is alive. Again, passion. For we have the living Word of God, which is full of energy. Now, as I was at a Wednesday night service at High Point that Miss Julie King was teaching, and she was talking about the authority of God, and she used that verse talking about the Word of God, and that is where we get our authority from or through. And as she was talking about it, the Lord just quickened and said to me, I heard John, I don't mean to hurt an audible voice, 663. And I knew that verse. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits us nothing. The words that I have spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life. And I begin to think about that verse. The Word of God is living and has power. And then think about this verse that we just read. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profit nothing. Well, that ties in with what we've been talking about. The words that I have spoken to you are they are spirit. Now, when I see spirit right now, I don't see just Holy Spirit. What I actually see is Holy Spirit of power. So let me read it like that. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit or power, and they are life or living. So we have an affirmation from the mouth of Jesus that the words that he speaks are that way. And so I can begin to say with you then that when he tells us to speak his word, as we're going to be seeing over and over, and again, some of you may say, well, I don't like that, but listen to what we're saying here. No, better yet, listen to what he's saying. The words that he speaks when we speak them with our mouth accomplish the same things as when he speaks. Glory to God. The Spirit of power is the same concept we see in Hebrews 4:12. Now, why is that so important to us? What do we do when we're born again? We hear the word. We receive the word. Talking about the gospel, the good news of the cross. And we are what? When we believe it and confess it with our mouth, we're born again. Now let me read you James 1:21-22. Therefore, put aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness. I think King James, that's the verse it uses the word superfluity in. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive. Take it. The power has made it available, so receive it, take it, just as that man took the axe head. Receive what? The word implanted. The word that has power. And how do we know it has power? Because look what it does. Which is able to save your soul. And we've talked about the work on the cross when he raised Jesus from the dead, the power that he exerted was greater than any power used in creation even, because it raised all of us up with him from the death that we were born into this world into. Now, I also want to read verse 22, because you're going to see as we go on, and I'm still kind of setting a foundation for this study. As we go on, you're going to see that it is very important that we know that we have the love of the Lord and that we love him. But we're going to see that that love will compel us to do what? To be obedient. And look at this one. But prove yourselves to be doers of the word. In other words, do what the word says. Thus, hear the word and be intelligent enough to do it. And not merely hearers who delude themselves. Now, you're going to see that this is essential. For us to manifest power, we have a promise from Jesus about power manifesting in Scripture when we do these things. And Jesus really affirmed how important this relationship between word and power is in Matthew, the 22nd chapter. The Pharisees are trying to trick Jesus, and they're asking him all these crazy questions about a man who had a wife and all this stuff, and death occurs and remarries a number of times. And then they ask him, so in heaven, whose wife is she? And listen to what Jesus says. But Jesus, this is in Matthew 22:29. I'm going to read you several translations. Jesus answered them and said to them, and what he's about to say is, this is your problem. This is why you're asking this stupid question. And here's what he says. You are mistaken, not understanding the scriptures, nor the power of God. Do you see here he is saying that both are essential? Young's literal that we've referred to says, you go astray, not knowing the writings, the word, nor knowing the power of God. So, you go astray, not knowing the writings, nor the power. Passion just nails it on the head here. It says, you're deluded because your hearts are not filled with the revelation of the scripture or the power of God. Meaning what? If their heart is filled with it, they've got a revelation of it, of both the word and the power. Now, there are people, and I want to just be blunt about this. There are many people, in fact, we're going to see an example in scripture in just a moment, who pursue power. Show me a sign. I want to see. I just want the supernatural. And to focus on power without the word of God is dangerous. Very dangerous. It's like having great zeal with no knowledge. And that, my dear friends, is the devil's playground. Because when you don't know the word, you don't have the guide or the standard to which the Holy Spirit can bear witness with you, because you don't know what the Lord has said and what his will is. And as I said earlier, if you're living just to see the supernatural, you won't be satisfied without both that supernatural, that power, and his word, which is his presence. Again, if we try to live without the power, though, then what? The flesh profits us nothing. Luke 4, verses 31 and 32. Now, you're going to see again, word and power. And this is talking about Jesus. And this is an account after Jesus has left his hometown. And he's confessed Luke 4, 18 and 19 before him. And they didn't like it. And they tried to destroy him. But he walked right through their midst, protected. And so he comes to Capernaum. And he's teaching there. And in verse 31, it says, he came to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath. Well, reckon what he was teaching. The word of God. He was probably quoting, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, from Luke 4, 18 above. And it ends by saying, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, really declaring, I am your Jubilee. It's not a year anymore, it's me. So he was teaching them on the Sabbath. And it said they were amazed at his teaching. So they were amazed at the words he said, for his message was with authority. And then what happened there? Now, let me stop now first. How could he speak the word of God, and it be spoken with a sense of authority? In other words, he knew something was happening. What did he know? He knew that the power of God was there. The power of heaven was there to back up every word of God that he spoke. And I remind you again, he said, I only say what I hear the Father say. So when the Lord quickened scriptures from the Torah to his mind, he spoke them. And then he set a man free from being possessed by the devil. It's one of those we studied, because the demon recognized that he was the son of the God Most High, the Holy One of God. And so he cast him out. And then look down in verse 36. And amazement came upon them all. So they were amazed with their teaching, but this sounds like an even greater amazement came upon them all, and they began discussing. And look where they started. What is this message? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. So when they heard his words and saw his words manifest with both the authority that he had and the power that flowed through him, look what verse 37 says. And the report about him was getting out into every locality in the surrounding districts. Now, in the King James, it actually says, and the fame of him. Does this sound like when Jesus began to operate by declaring the word of the Lord with authority, and power came to back it up and cast the demon out? Is this when they started beginning to see him as a person of renown? And I use that purposefully, since we just studied that that's what the Lord said about us. Why is that? Because it's not just about words. It's about words that have power and that manifest. The Passion Translation alike, for that phrase, it says, the reports about him spread like wildfire. If we want to see the glory of the Lord manifested throughout this universe, this city that we live in, forget the universe, start with our cities, then might it be that we should be declaring with authority and with power the word of the Lord? 1 Thessalonians 1:5 kind of wraps this thought up in this section up for me. 1 Thessalonians 1:5, Paul writing says, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power. And it couldn't come within power without what? And in the Holy Spirit. And it came with Paul's full conviction. And then this phrase is important. I want to touch on it just a moment. Just as you know what kind of men we prove to be among you. Now, the first thing that says to me is when it says that we prove what kind of men we were to be proved among you. And it said it indicates to me that they didn't come trying to make a name for themselves. That they came to prove what kind of men they were, messengers of the Lord Jesus, given an assignment. And all they wanted for themselves was Jesus to be glorified. That's what we want to be. But here we go back to the verse. The gospel did not come to you in word only, but Paul said you saw the power of God and the Holy Spirit in it. Because we had full conviction, or we believed in both the power and the word. Now, the question that I have for myself when I read this is, just as you know what kind of men we prove to be, can I be that today? Can I be that person who seeks nothing but God's glory and is bold enough to proclaim that I declare the word with power and with the Holy Spirit? Passion Translation, for our gospel came to you not merely in the form of words, but in power, infused with, I would say, by the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. Now, in the remaining time we have today, there's some things I want us to see that Paul said concerning word of God and the power. And we can begin to see that what he experienced in his time, and as he addressed primarily the Corinthians, when you got to remember Corinth is in Greek, when you see these scriptures, then you will see how a lot of what he faced is exactly what we face today in people seeking power or people seeking great wisdom. Most of the time, earthly wisdom. Let's start with Romans 1:16, another of Paul's writings, which simply says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the word of God. I would say more specifically, I'm not ashamed of the good news of the work of the cross of Jesus Christ. That is good news for you and I. For it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and to the Greek. And doesn't that tie in exactly with what we talked about in James 1 just a moment ago? Now, go with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. And we want to start in verse 17, and we're going to read through 25. Verse 17, and we're going to read through verse 25. For Christ did not send me, Paul talking, to baptize, but to preach or declare that good news that we've been talking about. And not to do it in cleverness of speech. Now, to me, that means in great ways of saying it and being humorous with it and talking all around it. He said, I'm coming you to give you the straight word, that the cross of Christ should not be made void. Now, why is that important where it says that the cross of Christ should not be made void? Well, what does Scripture tell us? What did Paul say in Romans? That this gospel must be preached. How blessed are the feet of them who proclaim this good news. So it's got to be preached. It's got to be heard. Holy Spirit bears witness with it in us. We receive it. We are born again. And then we're on the road then to beginning to be filled with the Spirit and to do what we're talking about. So it must be heard to produce. And that's what he's saying. Then 18, for the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness. How often do we see that today? How in the world can a guy dying on a cross give me eternal life? You got to be kidding. That's the craziest thing of it. I mean, you've heard it just like I have. So Paul is also seeing it in directly here. And then he says, but to us who are being saved. In other words, for us who see it as a work of the Lord with power, he says it is the power of God. And that's what we saw, that word implanted that is able to save our soul. So I want to ask you, do you believe there is a relationship then, based on these verses, between manifestations of power and having faith in the work of the cross? Now, I'm going to meddle here because I'm going to tell you there are some Christians. There are people who profess, and I don't want to judge, but the word you're going to see is clear today. There are some people who profess things that don't line up with God's word. So I would say that people today who don't believe in the power, I would really question whether they're saved. Because, and it's not those who don't believe the power has waned, because they may believe that Jesus died and power was exerted to raise him up. But then they throw away some things, and we'll see that. But believers must believe in the power of God. They must believe in a virgin birth, because a man born of a woman could not have produced salvation. The word is clear on that. They must believe that Jesus went to the cross and died on the cross, and all that he took to the cross in exchange for what we were going to get for number three, which was he was raised from the dead after his time. Those 3 days, he was raised from the dead with power. That is the only way we can believe. Jesus said, I'm the only way to the Father. And those three things, virgin birth, death on the cross, submitting, man didn't take his life, he gave it up, and resurrection from the dead. We must believe in miracle working power to become a believer. There's no way around it. Now let's look in verse 19 and pick up. For since the wisdom of God through the world, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. In other words, he had a plan. This foolishness didn't surprise him. For indeed, and do we see people like this today? Jews asked for signs. Greeks searched for wisdom. In other words, they were really well educated, and all they wanted was some new learning, some new philosophy, some new thing. And we see that today, over and over. We see people who just give me more wisdom, teach me something new. And I've even heard some people say, oh, we've moved beyond the Bible to this. Well, I have a real problem with that. 23, but we preach Christ crucified. And then he says, to those who want miracles, it's a stumbling block. Who won't see just signs and wonders, that's a stumbling block. And to those, to the Gentiles, the Greeks who wanted wisdom, that just seems foolish. But to you and I, to those of us who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Jesus, our Christ, the Anointed One, verse 24 says, is the power of God and he is the wisdom of God. In other words, He is all you need, because He's got the wisdom that we need in order to have the power act on our behalf in our life. Everything we need, He's the answer to. He's the wisdom, and He's got the power to deliver it. Verse 25 is worth noting. It says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. So the stupidest thing that you could think God could ever do is wiser than you and I can ever be. And the weakness of God, any weakness that we might think He has, is so much stronger, so much more powerful than us. So again, in the word of the king, there is power. Why should you question it? Why should you ask, what are you doing? Now let's jump down to 1 Corinthians 2:1. And you know, it's really no surprise to me that so many people don't pursue the power of God, because it's not taught in the church. In fact, I would say it's not taught in most churches. They may touch on the power of God dealing with resurrection, but then it seems like His arm has grown short. And how can we expect people to believe in that power when we don't teach it in church? We can't accept that a remnant, many of us in this group perhaps, begin to let the power of God flow through us so that it piques curiosity, and so that my prayer is that pastors will see the revelation and begin to teach it. And if not, that God will send people across the way who will demonstrate it as they declare the word with power. So let's continue down in chapter 2. And I want to come to the first verse, and we'll start there. And so Paul says, and when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. In other words, I'm not coming like someone who has gained superior knowledge of men, which he had. He was trained by Gamaliel, the best of the best in his day. He was a great orator. He says, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that's what we were talking about earlier when he said, what kind of men we prove to be among you. It wasn't about Paul. It's about Jesus. Then he says, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And I can identify with that. There's a sense of that every time I sit in front of this camera or stand in the pulpit to teach. I know my weaknesses. I know that I can't do this in and of myself, and that I must depend on the Spirit in me. But I know He's in me, and I know He's called me, and with that calling comes an enablement, or might I say it this way, the power to accomplish what He's sent me to do. And then verse 4. Now verse 4 is one that I have an orange mark in my Bible. I've gone through the New Testament, and every time I see something about the Word being taught and miracles, I put an orange mark in here. I have so many orange marks in my Bible. He says, and my message and preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom. In other words, I just didn't tell you something and just beat you to death with it trying to change your mind. But they were in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now, why would Paul do that? Because he tells us that your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men. Now, I see that today. You can tell somebody some words, and unless they receive it in their hearts and the power begins to work, then somebody's going to come along and talk them out of it. That's really the assignment the devil has, is to try to talk people out of things. But let me read verse 5 in its entirety. That your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. So where should our faith rest? On the power of God. Now, it's as if when we say it's on the power of God, we're not trying to separate His power from Him. That's who He is. He is the Word. He is wisdom. He is power. But we must believe that that power is at work for our benefit and our value today. So do you see that the faith, that believing in God, believing in the power of God, is really believing in God Himself, who wants to manifest Himself to us. 1 Corinthians 4:20 simply says, it kind of sums all this up, and this was obviously big in Paul's heart, "For the kingdom of God does not consist in words, but in power." So it's not just about words. Passion. "For the kingdom realm of God comes with power, not just in simply impressive words." Young's literal says, "For not in word is the reign of God, but in power." That's why Jesus could declare, "Thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory." The demonstrations of the power of God is intended to be a result of the gospel, the good news of Jesus and his work on the cross, which obviously for me includes resurrection. And this is why I believe the Lord has asked me to teach this boldly to you with great expectation. I'm not teaching this thinking that and believing for you just to get a word. I am believing that we are going to begin to see through all of us power exerted, signs and wonders. If it's not taught and you don't have faith to believe in the power of God for you and others, then I just don't believe we're going to see it manifested in each of our lives today. But Satan has tried to keep us from doing this, but it's too late. It's too late. It is too late. And again, as we saw in Ephesians last week, it is that power he wants toward us, just like he said concerning the Hebrew children. He's doing it for his name's sake, that the world may see him. Now, I want to close with one verse, and it is a stern verse, and it is a warning. And it's very important to recognize this. And I can actually be talking about non-believers, but sadly, I can be talking about many who would call themselves church folk. And it's in 2 Timothy 3:5. Talking about men today. And he's talking here about, as the day comes, draws near, perilous times are going to come. And then it begins to talk about how men are going to become lovers of themselves and all these other terrible attributes. And in verse 5, talking about these men, people who are in the church with these people, it says that they are holding to a form of godliness. In other words, they make it sound good. They make it have a tint of truth to it. In this sense, it says, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. So they're going to be 100% against the power. And look what it says. And avoid men such as these. New King James says, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people, turn away. Now that's some pretty tough instruction for you and I. But why is it doing that? Because it can pull us right back into a position where many of us have come from, believing that power existed at one point, but it's probably not for today, that his arm has grown too short. The Passion says it this way. They may pretend to have a respect for God, but in reality, they want nothing to do with God's power. Does that make it pretty clear that we have to have, just like Jesus told the Pharisees, you do not know the holy writings, the scriptures, nor the power of God. So let me read you Passion and finish it. They may pretend to have a respect for God, but in reality, they want nothing to do with God's power. Stay away from people like these. Selah. I can add nothing to that. Now, let me tell you what I believe we're going to be doing in the coming weeks, some things we're going to be addressing. We're going to talk about, has his power waned, as many say? Is his power for you and I today? To whom is his power manifested? This is a big deal. Do I do miracles using his power, or does he do miracles through my hands? In other words, am I a vessel for that? And then the bigger question, can he use me? What do I need to do to be seeing the power more in my life? We're going to have to ask some questions. Am I carnally or am I heavenly minded? Do I recognize that the power has been and continues to be manifested in my life? And what I mean by that is we're going to begin probably in the coming next couple of weeks. We're going to look some more at Jesus and his exhibiting power, but we're going to see that power has already been exhibited in your life in a big way if you're a born-again believer, if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. There are so much that we see that we don't see situations where power has been exhibited. And so we're just going to try to touch on that so that you can gain confidence that it's not, will I walk in his power? It's, I have already walked in his power. Can I increase in it? That's a totally different starting point. That's starting from a position of victory that we can build upon. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for encouraging us today that you've given us your word so that your power may be at work in us and through us. Open our eyes to that. And Father, I ask for wisdom to protect these dear people of yours, these whom you love so much, from those who would sound good in what they say, but deny power. Give us wisdom to draw back and stay away from those as you've instructed in your word, such that we might become for you, just like Jesus was, a person who power flowed through as he became a person of renown. And Jesus, we give you all the glory for all that will be accomplished. It's in your name we pray. Amen.